Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know, I always get the best guests, and this gentleman I've been on air with many, many times, but what I really thought was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen is I actually met him for the first time face-to-face in New York. He's from New Mexico, and he brought his daughter with him. I think she's about 7 or 8. I'm not sure the exact age, but she's young, and he brought her with, and he took her all around New York after spending time on Fox Business with me. Lee Munson from PortfolioLLC.com. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing great, Bubba. It was great seeing you two. Finally, we got to meet after only seeing each other in little boxes on a TV screen.
It's amazing. So Lee, tell us about Portfolio Wealth Advisors. Tell us, you know, what you guys do and what you're all about.
Well, you know, the firm's evolved over the years. I used to do stuff like trade all day and run hedge funds and just do crazy stuff. These days, I have my mild-mannered life and wife and my 7-year-old girl, Zoe, my 3-year-old boy, Weston. We basically have an office in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We also have an office in Oklahoma City. And we specialize, we cater to essentially baby boomers who live off of their portfolios currently or are in the last few years of their work cycle. They're generally going to be, you know, higher net worth people. They're sort of the millionaire next door. And their goal is just have more time on the mountain. We have a lot of engineers. You know, we're out here, you know, we made the bomb. We also have Sandia, Los Alamos National Laboratories. So when you hear things about, you know, who's actually in charge of nuclear deployment and making sure that, you know, the few thousand nukes we have are all ready to go or, you know, are being rehabbed, that's what we do out here. So when you read the stats about how poor the state is, or you hear about how, you know, New Mexico just lives off the federal government, we're the people who make sure that the bombs don't go off when you don't want them. And if we've got to nuke somebody, we're in charge now. How about we never have to do that? So I have a lot of engineers, and they like a more scientific approach than just shooting from the hip. And I love it. I've got the best clients I think I could ever hope for, and they love getting into financial theory.
Listen, and you're very good at financial theory, and so did your daughter have a good time in New York when she was?
Oh, my God, she had a blast. You know, after we did our thing, we went down to Times Square, and it happened to be the 5th anniversary of the kissing. So remember the famous Times Square picture with the sailor kissing the nurse after we won World War II with the big ticker tape parade? They found these people, and that day, I walk her over to the Toys R Us so that we go in the Ferris wheel on Times Square, and there they are. And so I got lots of pictures, blackmail pictures, of forcing my daughter to give me a kiss right in front of all this stuff. So about 7 or 8 years from now, when she's a teenager, I've got the photos to keep her grounded.
There you go, baby. And that was great. And obviously, that was a really, I love that. That's a great way to spend time with your family. And I think that's one of the things that you guys provide, is how to spend more time with your family, because at the end of the day, that's what you really have, right? I mean, it's really about family, and that's what you kind of specialize on. And, you know, what are you seeing here just in the general marketplace? You know, on Friday, we had a jobs number that was, you know, mediocre, but I've been saying all along, I think the jobs are just mediocre to begin with. I don't care what number they print there. What are you kind of seeing just overall as an advisor and as a guy who's traded and done all those things?
Well, you know, I'm with you. We have such anemic employment growth that unless we have some huge surprise to the downside, anything so-so is looked at as good. And I think that the thing that we worry about most, you know, the market's down on it. I mean, I get it. The market is not down 1.5% because of the jobs number. The market's volatile right now, and it's Friday before Labor Day. Now, I'm not a day trader. You know, I like buying index funds and doing this, you know, this these nice big top-down portfolios. But come on, you and I are traders. We know why there's a sell-off today. I think that a too good of a jobs number is going to tell us that the economy is heating up too quickly, and the Fed is going to tighten sooner than we think. So I'm not looking for phenomenal, but it bothers me that we're down to 5.1. Because when you think about the dual mandate, they've always been clear, we're more concerned about jobs than we are inflation. Well, exactly, because inflation isn't going anywhere. So I think that people have to remember, as we start getting that jobs number down below 5%, we're going to have an issue. And I'm not interested in the arguments about how many people gave up on work or this or that. There's a lot of people in America who don't have any skills. I mean, they're just out. And quite frankly, if they're smart, you know, they'll take what they have, come out to New Mexico, and live cheaper, right?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, baby.
So I don't care about all the people who are the stealth unemployed or the underemployed. I love looking at that. You know, we all have to look at that. We all secretly look at all those numbers. But I think this is going to be setting up for probably a bounce here. And then I think it could get very, very ugly as we go into the end of this year, because we just don't have the profit growth.
Well, we don't have, and I've said this many times, I'd like to get your opinion. I don't think we have any growth, really. If you take out mergers and acquisitions and corporate buybacks, tell me where the growth is at.
Well, I partially agree with you that there's not a lot of growth, if any at all. The thing is, I've always said the Fed is fundamental, meaning that we can say that it's artificial or we can say that it's not real, but the reality is those corporate buybacks are causing the stocks to rise. The merger and acquisition is causing the accountants to fool around and make the numbers look better. Companies really are making billions and billions and billions of dollars, and then you've got some standout hits here and there that everybody likes to trade. But I think people are going to realize, where is the game? Where are you going to put your money where you can get a return that doesn't have the risk of a sharp rate increase? So I would say that a couple of years ago, I definitely disagree. I'd say we've got earnings coming back. But if you go to the Fed website, I always go to the St. Louis Fed website, and go to FRED, that's the Federal Reserve, I forgot the acronym, but you know, you get all these charts, and just overlay corporate profits, and I don't care how you want to adjust them, you know, I have my own way that I tweak them before capital expenditure, you know, I'm a chartered financial analyst, so I have these little ways that I filter things, but any measure of corporate profits, overlay that with the S&P 500, and you're going to see that upward line start curving back down. That we have not seen in many years. And that's real. And that's going to put pressure on companies, because 2 years ago, people like you and I were talking about how much can we juice productivity? How long can companies keep buying software versus adding the next person? Well, now we're here. And do you notice that nobody's talking about that now? When was the last time you and I were talking about how can corporate profits just keep growing? How can we just keep squeezing productivity? Nobody's mentioned that in a while. Right? Well,
that's because the Fed has dementia. They don't really know what. I don't want to put any words in your mouth. That's why I'm doing this right towards the end, so you don't have to comment. You know, the Fed has done, in my opinion, has done a terrible job managing the entire situation. I think they've been. They're going to be the end of the when this market does correct heavily, and I think we both agree that that's going to happen. You're going to look back and say, if the Fed would have done a couple of things different instead of continuing to feed strictly the banks in this whole thing, we'd find something different. But anyways, we're with Lee Munson, Portfolio Wealth Advisors. You can get him at PortfolioLLC.com. He's a great guy, very smart, and we're going to come back and talk some more with Lee. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Lee Munson from Portfolio Wealth Advisors. You can find him at PortfolioLLC.com out in New Mexico and Oklahoma City. But the really very smart guy, really gets it, and has been involved. And again, we've been on air many times together. So, Lee, as I went to break, I did bash the Fed a little bit. If you'd like to, you can comment, or if you don't want to, we can move on.
No, I think people need to know. I've never in my career, I've been doing this professionally, for almost 20 years. I've been involved in markets, ever since I was a little kid with my dad, forever. It is unfathomable to look back and see how much we're obsessed with what the Fed says and does. Now, there's context, there's a reason why, but I think it consumes us because the size of the intervention is so large. The dollars, the nominal dollars, are hard to get your mind around. And when you look at graphs and charts and these little anecdotal visuals, it's quite shocking because it's shockingly different. And we know that the Fed has done major screw-ups, 80 years ago. We know this can be done wrong. We know that they did it wrong in the 70s as well. So there's not a lot of confidence when you look back at crises that they've got that they're batting 1,000 here. It's kind of half and half. Well, I think people want to know is Todd and Lee are not going to change the Fed's opinion, but we're curious about what they could have done to change it. And if we look at maybe what our opinion is about what we may have wanted to change, then we might get an idea of what the downside or negative payoff for them not to do it. Case in point, I mentioned, I think, last week with somebody, I was on Fox or CNBC, they said, my point was, I really wish they would raise in September. And people are like, get all upset about that. Oh, no, you can't take the push. And people said, why? I said, because we need to have some ceremonial rate hike, because once we get into a recession, which happens all the time, don't be shocked, and they're not that long, it's no big deal, it happens, nobody likes it, then we don't even have a ceremonial quarter point to cut. Because you and I both know they can't raise rates a point and a half or 2%. I mean, if anybody's old enough who's listening to remember 1994, my God, we saw what Greenspan did, raising rates like six times before, Valentine's Day. I remember that. That destroyed industries, right? The mortgage banking industry was decimated by summertime.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off. Go.
No, that's my point. I think a lot of things that the Fed is going to do is I think they're going to wait too long. I think that they are not ready to deal with the hard choices of raising rates. And we don't know how this is going to affect things. And so it's a hard thing to presume. All we know is that it's not going to be a perfect unwinding. So it might get even uglier than we think, especially if they stop, if they don't raise. And if unemployment starts getting tight and we get an inverted yield curve, I've never seen an inverted yield curve that didn't mean one thing, right?
Katie barred the door, and again, that goes back to that the Fed, in my opinion, what they're really good at is they're really good at kicking the can down the road and hoping that the problem goes away, and that is where my issue comes in, because they should have raised rates all along, because the only way that small guys and small business can succeed is if they can get funding and borrow money from a bank, which they are unable to do at this current time. Because, if you were a bank, would you loan money out when you could get full faith and credit money from the government?
Well, that's what the damn problem is, because no banks in New Mexico lend money. Now, I know there's some, if there's a banker in New Mexico, they say, well, that's not true. It's like, yes, it is. And don't be telling people that you're doing that. It's if you and I could just borrow money at nothing or at 0.25%, and then go buy 5 or 10 year treasuries at 2 or 3 or 4 times that and make a spread for free, why are you and I talking right now? Why are we not on a beach in Tahiti? And that is essentially what banks are allowed to do right now. I understand that they don't want to lend, but damn it, if we're going to subsidize this crap and let them free ride for no good reason because they're not lending, then they need to be forced to either stop taking the spread get your underwriters back and start figuring out how to make money lending. And if it's in the higher risk areas, then learn how to do proper underwriting. I mean, what's the problem with bankers? You know, they don't understand how to assess risk. You know, if you talk to a banker and you have some drinks with them and you're like, tell me the real scoop. Don't give me the BS. And they say, listen, man, it just comes down to one thing. You just got to see if you trust the person and if you think they're going to feel bad not paying you back the money. Right?
Well, I mean, I think that's my point with you, and I think that's where we agree that, you know, who caused the original problem? Well, the banks, I think. I mean, you know, when they were lending everybody. So why is it that we, the common man, always get stuck bailing out the guys that made the horrible decision to do this? So what we've got is we've got, you know, I'm sure you're into this, Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events. Has your daughter got to that yet, or is she too young for that? I don't remember. I remember when my kids went through it, but all we have is a chain of unfortunate events that continue to be perpetrated by, obviously, our government because they refuse to do the right thing, and then, of course, the Federal Reserve, who refuses to do the right thing, which leaves us basically in a market that, look, whether it's the Fed, because of the Fed this time or whatever, all markets eventually collapse. Because that's just history. It's got nothing to do with whether or not you're bearish or bullish in the market. You know that at certain points in time, a market's going to sell off. And sometimes they're worse than others, but they're always going to sell off because you can go back to the beginning of time of any kind of market and you get corrections, you get sell-offs, you get collapses. But at the end of the day, markets do eventually resurface and go up. But of course, fear, panic, and greed drive them. And I'm afraid that unfortunately, in today's world, we've got a lot of fear starting to fester out there because what's in the market right now are a lot of people that don't even belong in the market, but they're forced to chase yield. What do you think?
Right. It's horrible. You know, I had some clients complain last year that the performance wasn't exactly what they wanted, you know, in moderate 60-40 mixes, and I had to explain to them, hey, you know, if I would have jacked up all of your interest rate risk to go to DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 5, you know, just insane risk, we could have made some money on some long, you know, government bonds. But that's ridiculous. That's a very speculative bet. So we've been in this low duration mix for a while, but what's the problem? When I just have short-term corporate, shorter-term treasuries, maybe some intermediate, some global, but it's all high quality and low duration, I don't have interest rate risk. I don't have the big risks of defaults, and I don't have the big risks of getting killed on rates. When I build that into my portfolio, Todd, you end up having this very difficult decision. Either you just adjust down your long-term expected return, regardless of what the practical side of interest rates are, right? You got to put that aside. Because we made Japan it for 10 years. Long rates may not go up for a while. We don't know. We have our opinions. We don't know. But then on the flip side, if you do that, now all of a sudden I have to heat up that stock portfolio. I have to go in and focus more on things like value or smaller companies, things with a higher risk, higher reward. Now, it's a subtle change, but that's what a lot of people have been doing. And unfortunately, instead of doing a more reasonable strategy of just taking a little bit more risk on the stock side and asset classes that we're familiar with and know, and de-risk or detune the bond side, you're getting people, I'm meeting people coming in with long duration junk bonds, emerging market bonds, you know, obscure convertibles, closed-in fund nonsense, all this stuff that I used to love when I was a kid on Wall Street, but doesn't actually work very well. And when the crap hits the fan and rates get volatile, people can get killed. Like last year in May, people got killed. And people forgot that. Nobody remembered last year in May what happened to a lot of interest rate sensitive things. So I do feel the average Joe investor, just they've got a target on their back. Every time they chase yield, I mean, look at things like all the big dividend payers. You have a lot of low-quality dividend payers out there that attract dollars, and then people wonder, why are they down? And then on top of that, don't even get me started on all this garbage and nonsense about low volatility ETFs and, you know.
Lee, hold that thought. I'm going to get you started on that. When we come back from the break, I am with Lee Munson from Portfolio Wealth Advisors. You can find them at PortfolioLLC.com. You can hear it. Sincerity. Smart guy gets it. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. We'll be right back after the break with more from Lee Munson from PortfolioLLC.com. We'll be right back.
I don't need baggy clothes.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm hanging out with my friend Lee Munson from Portfolio Wealth Advisors, and you can find him at PortfolioLLC.com, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Oklahoma City, the Red River, and you got to check him out. Check out his website and make sure you see what he's doing, because he's a pretty smart guy. I'm telling you, he knows his stuff. But I didn't want to get you started, but let's go ahead and get you started on where you left off right when we went to the break, and how upset you're going to get about this, because I want to see you get a little bit emotional now.
Jeez. Where would you like me to start?
You start wherever you want. The floor is yours. I'm going to sit back and relax and enjoy and listening to you.
Okay. So, you know, these are the things that bother me right now, right? I've got my little pet peeves on the market. I've got stuff that really irks me, and I think the average person really needs to start to understand. People are going out right now, and they do not have a full understanding of how the Fed's policy is affecting their portfolio. They don't understand why cash can be a very dangerous thing holding long term, and they certainly don't get what the true risk of these damn stocks are right now. And after last Monday, when we had that huge correction on the 24th of August, we realized that a lot of these little packaged, perfect little ETFs that people think, oh, I want an ETF because that's supposed to be better, were off 30% at the open. There's no market makers to give any type of order, you know, order to the chaos. There's no person coming in and say, we got to shut down this pit until all you guys can figure it out and create an orderly market for us. It's nothing. It's electronic. And furthermore, we've got places like PIMCO Total Return with 20% of their book in emerging market bonds, and people think that this is a broad-based domestic bond fund. So there's all these risks that are creeping up in the worst possible places, in widely held mutual funds that are found in tons of 401ks across the country. And they just don't get it. You can't squeeze blood from a stone. There's tremendous risk in the rate environment, and there's tremendous risk just in that stock market. You're right, Todd. We've got a problem with profits. I may not be as quite extreme to say there really hasn't been any growth, but I'm definitely on your side of the bar. I'm definitely on the side of, yeah, if we took away buybacks and mergers and lose money, oh, it does not look good. I mean, you'd essentially just be in a recession. You're growing, but it's so anemic, it does nothing for anybody. But now we have this job thing. Now we start putting the pieces together. Number one, we're starting to reach that limit of sucking productivity out of that same worker. And we know that people are hiring because you just can't use Siri or ask Google to do your goddamn work for you. You have to have live people to do it. And on top of that, we have draconian employment issues that we're starting to look a lot like Europe. And it's not just the payroll tax. It's not just the Affordable Care Act, or if you want to call it Obamacare, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. You know, I provide health care for all of my employees, but I have highly skilled, highly paid people, and that's a bonus to them. But if you've got, you know, a restaurant or you got a small business where you have a lot more unskilled labor, which we have a lot in this country, right? And a lot of unskilled labor that wants to work if they could get the damn job. It just becomes too expensive. And then you have things like out here, like you've got up there, where the finances are shaky. People aren't learning what they need to learn to be productive. And they want to raise minimum wages to dumb us down more and make us look like pinkos. And I'm not saying that we need to get rid of social problems, but we've got a problem with America. And we all know one thing, though. If you've been in this business a long time, we always work it out. But that doesn't mean there won't be pain between now and then. People have to start treating the jobs numbers more seriously. Not that they're so bad, but that they're consistently mediocre, and that number is coming down. We have to stop saying how mediocre they are. Like, I know they're mediocre. But once we start getting into the 4% region, we're gonna have a Fed that's gonna start pumping those rates up. And while they say they never think about the market, they don't take that. Yeah. I don't think they know livestock from preferred stock, to quote Wall Street. I don't think they really get it. Yellen has inherited this huge grand experiment. And while she seems like a very bright, intelligent person, of course she is. She's not an idiot. How would you or me, like, forget it. Don't sign me up for that job. I'd rather armchair it with you today, because to actually have to be responsible for that, you really can't be responsible for it. You're just going to muddle through it. So I think that people have to start thinking, am I going to be a trader? Am I going to be an investor? Do I have what I need to spend more time on the mountain, have a great lifestyle, and stop buying into this BS about closed-end funds, privately traded REITs, alternative this or that or the other? Because those are sophisticated products for big players, the big dogs.
Yeah.
And the SEC and their brilliance. I mean, I love how hedge fund. Listen, I used to run a hedge fund. They're risky. There's a reason why in the past regulators said, hey, you got to have people have money. Because the average Joe, it doesn't matter how much you know or how good you are, this is a little bit esoteric. And for the SEC to continue to just approve every ETF that comes by their nose and to say, oh, we've got to let more people have more choice. You know, it's just like saying, well, why don't we just unlock the prisons so that we have more unskilled labor? Right, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want that. So I think for people like you who trade, you know, we don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry, you know, screwing up the business. And I want to make sure that those people who are not investors, they're not traders, they're just regular people who saved their whole life. Why? Because they didn't have a pension. They got screwed there. Luckily, we invented some mutual funds and mostly can get the cost down. They just want to get a check. You know, and so I become essentially a private pension manager for, you know, individual people. That's hard work.
It certainly is.
So,
I'm sorry.
Anyway, that that's my tirade today on it. I still think there's a lot of hope. I still think that there's possibilities in emerging markets. Of course, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody has any courage to say, you know, could this be a buy relatively somewhere around here? It's cheap. Everybody's thinking Europe is left for dead. But I would say the market knows how to price these things. You and I know that while it can be inefficient from time to time, on the big global macro level, if you're not trading in the pits, if you're not really getting in there every single day and gunning for it, the markets are relatively efficient. And as we start going into a recession over the next year, which I think is highly likely, though, you know, I don't know. What do I know? But I think in the next year as we see this, we're going to start realizing that the damage is deeper and that you have to always focus on where the value is. You can't be overpaying for stuff simply because it's the only place in town. I know that I had to detune my bond side. I know I've got to tune up my stock side. That doesn't mean that I go into every overpriced piece of crap social media company, because with a PE of 100, who cares if the PE goes to 150? And I think that's a core issue that people are not thinking about. Just because we don't have a decision on what sandbox we can really play in doesn't mean that we just jump in that sandbox and get hurt. So with that, that's where I'm coming from.
You're the man, baby. You echo much more eloquently than I echo those same sentiments, because I get really angry when I talk about that stuff. And the markets are better than anything else because the markets do know how to sort things out. Unlike the people in charge today, they have no idea how to sort it out. And that's my problem. You mentioned that you don't think that they're ignorant. Well, they are ignorant. They may not be dumb people, but they are ignorant because they don't understand what it takes to run a business. And yes, they are. I don't care what you tell me or anybody tells me. The Federal Reserve is day trading the stock market, and it came abundantly clear in 2013 when Ben Bernanke in May said, we're going to raise rates, and the market immediately melted down, and he immediately sent out all the henchmen and all the other governors saying, okay, we made a mistake. We're not going to raise rates. Now, if you don't tell me that the stock market is not controlling the Federal Reserve and the banks are not controlling the Federal Reserve, I think that we both have an issue with that. And I believe that, I don't speak quite as eloquently as you do, but I will spit it out there that they've done a horrible job and they don't know what they're doing. And the bottom line is true markets, real markets will figure out what the right wage is for a job. They'll figure out what the right price of an economy is, what the right price of a stock is. And the true markets will tell you when emerging markets are probably a buy. And at these levels, they very well could be a buy. Again, there's always a price and time. And we see it heavily right now in the commodity space. The commodity space is under immense pressure. And I don't know whether the Fed engineered that collapse in the commodities to make it better so that they don't have to raise rates. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of questions out there that I have that bother me about what's going on, and that have nothing to do with me trading, because I trade just like you do. I understand how the market works, and I look to find value or opportunity in that market to give me the best shot to be a percentage winner, which is why I've been saying for a while that you need to be short the market, you need to sell in the rallies, because as a trader, that's where my opportunity is. As an investor, you don't do that. But we're going to come back with more from Lee, because I'm going to have some smiley stuff before we go too, because I've been bitching all day. But this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. I'm with Lee Munson from Portfolio Wealth Advisors, or PortfolioLLC.com. Make sure you check it out. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Lee Munson from Portfolio Wealth Advisors and PortfolioLLC.com. Make sure you check them out. So, Lee, I know you have a saying or something you do, and it's take risks worth taking and target higher expected returns. Tell us about that.
You know, I'm somebody who came from a trading background. I was a vicious trader in my 20s. I've run long, short hedge funds and stuff, trading options. I've done all that stuff. My clientele now are basically, you know, not traders or investors or institutional people. They're just everyday millionaire next door people in New Mexico and Oklahoma and Texas and Denver, you know, the Southwest region. And we're running mostly long-only portfolios, pretty boring stuff compared to what I used to do, but very effective and appropriate for people who have to live off their portfolios and they want to do other things, you know, more time on the mountain. When I talk about take risks worth taking, we have to have an understanding longer term and have a context of the history of the market to know why, you know, the Holy Grail thought is, how do we measure expected returns? It's not about finding the cool new trading strategy or a little black box that'll spit out the magical answer. We know that there are some basic things that over periods of time, not the short term, not the intermediate, there are reasons why certain things do better than others. For instance, we know that things that are cheaper relative to their peers do better than overpriced crap. That's why people like these old stodgy grandpa types like Warren Buffett, they're always talking about value, and they're the richest men in the world. The problem on Wall Street is that we use the term value and growth. If we used cheap and beat up or stupidly overpriced, then I think people can make a little bit better decisions, right? And for us, we want to let people know that we're going to take risk in their portfolio. We're not going to try to say, oh, I can take the risk out, or I can control it, or, you know, I'll get you a low-risk portfolio. No, we're going to take risks worth taking. I want to get the smaller side of the markets when it's appropriate. I want to get the cheaper sides of the market when it's appropriate. And I also want to know my market. In the U.S., you don't want to go hog wild value. You just don't. There's a premium to it, but you adjust for risk, and it's not that great. You go to emerging markets, and I'll tell you, you always pay 10 cents on the dollar. You never go for anything that's overpriced. So I think that when people are taking a look at how they should position their portfolio, they always need to have a good understanding of markets, like you said, Todd. You know, if you're a trader, I'm not exactly would suggest playing the long game right now. If you're a longer-term investor and you're long only, you have to look at those past few years and say, what's most likely going to give me performance the next few years? And if you look at the value anomaly, for example, we've had five-year rolling periods where it has really underperformed the growth pool, so to speak, here in America. That's a rare anomaly. So while some would say, well, that must mean value is dead. No, that means that rubber band is very stretched. And so like you, I always think, historically, where are we? You know, you mentioned, you know, markets always cave in eventually. Where's the Roman Empire stock market right now, you know? Where's the Dutch East India Trading Company? It went bankrupt. One of the greatest performing stocks of all time. The first stock that we ever had. Eventually went bust a couple hundred years later. Not to mention that the first dividend that Dutch East India Company ever paid, they paid half in guilders. They didn't have the other cash, so they paid the shareholders the other half of their dividend in spice. So we always got to remember the history, and we always have to remember where that expected return goes. And you always have to remember, you have to have some framework that you base your work off of. And if you're not going to be there watching markets all day, you've got to take a longer-term view. And that doesn't mean that you buy and hope, and that doesn't mean that you go in and out of the market every 5 minutes when things look bad. It means that you have to understand, what market am I trading, and why do I have it? If you don't know why you own an emerging market, the answer is not because they're cheap or I'm short them because they're going down. You know, you're either trading them or you're looking at something that gives you, you know, sensitivity to inflation. You know, right there is something that most people in our business cannot articulate, Todd. If you ask most people about that, they're going to give you some BS response about, well, China's growing fast or China's growing slow. I don't care. Well, it's the future or it's not the future. I don't care. It's 60% of GDP. I know I say that sometimes. It still doesn't matter, right? You have to get down to the core of what you're trying to accomplish. And that's what we do for clients.
That's why you're good at what you do. You see, you laid it out so nicely. Now, you have a statement also, structure is a strategy. What does that mean?
Structure is a strategy. You know, I always want to look at how we actually put together that portfolio. A lot of people have a concept where the strategy is, let's make as much money as possible with the least amount of risk. Okay, hit the bricks, I don't care. Some people say, well, I need X amount of dollars to live up. No. The strategy for our clients has to do with how we structure a low-cost portfolio. A portfolio is passive so that we can get global diversification without a bunch of noise in house. My clients, they want things simple. They do not want a complicated portfolio. They want I want a golf 3 times a week portfolio. And they also want to know that there's a actual underlying model, albeit we customize with many clients, we still want a underlying structure and framework of how we operate. Because then when people want to talk about strategy, about what they want to accomplish, this or that, I don't want to get lost on the hot new thing or I heard oil is this or that. No. We're not going to do that. So as we use different tools, you know, and then we get into the boring stuff. It's, you know, not really trading stuff like estate planning and tax management and legacy, blah, 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 asset protection. You've got to have some type of strong investment philosophy. You've got to have the courage of your conviction. And that has to do with how you structure your business from the start. You know, I'm not structured as a CTA. I'm not structured as a hedge fund. I'm structured as a registered investment advisor to work with individual investors, blah, blah, blah. And so if you don't do that in the front end, you end up just working with some wirehouse guy or just working with yourself or whatever, and you don't know that sandbox that you need to be in. So you got to get people in the sandbox, put little, like, you know, gates around it and say, this is how we're going to operate. This is the structure by which we're going to bring you the goals. And even though that animal may have short-term periods that are humbling, and you don't like it, we know that animal. It is within the little gates here. And that's why the structure is a strategy, because you can't just jump from one concept to another concept and have 50 different investment philosophies. You've got to stick with one. And even if it's one that I don't agree with, even if it's one that I've done and I don't do anymore, that's not the point. Consistent discipline. You know, waking up at 5 in the morning, mainly because it's the only time my kids aren't up, to read markets, get on top of my game, go work out, that's what people need to think about. They either need to do it themselves or they need to hire somebody that has a little discipline and is not afraid to say, this is the animal. You know, this is it. Whether you like it or not, this is what I do. And then just, you know,
show up
to work.
And not many do it better than Lee Munson from Portfolio Wealth Advisors. Lee, it's been great to have you on today. Is there a phone number somebody can reach you if they want to call?
Absolutely. The best way that people can reach me is just give us a call. The number is 505-884-3445. And my email, it's really easy. It's lee@portfolioLLC.com. We do business in every state in the union. And, you know, you don't have to live in the Southwest to do business with us, but, you know, if you're out in the Southwest or you like the lifestyle of the Southwest and want to have somebody that reflects those values and that level of understanding, you know, give us a buzz and, you know, we'll talk.
Give him a call. Lee Munson, Portfolio Wealth Advisors, PortfolioLLC.com. Thank you so much. This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's been great having Lee on. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.